Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz. And I am in the same room as the 2002 Daily Herald, Utah County, name of the year, and recovering man looking great, Matt Tosh.
Thank you.
Couple scars. You don't want to die without any scars.
No, for sure.
That's one of the great quotes.
Not a real man unless you have face scars.
From Fight Club. A lot of people probably have not seen that, but you don't want to die without any scars. Great quote from that movie. Yeah, that's great. Good for you. I'm glad you're doing well. Happy to see you here with me. And this is CougarCast, and it feels like this is actually our season premiere, Tosh. You know, we're three
games. Feels like the funeral already.
Well, right. We're three games in. Cougars are 1-2. Unimpressive one, by the way. So that is what it is. Tosh, the Cougars are really struggling on offense, and they're really struggling at beating the University of Utah. Tosh, you pick. What do you want to talk about? Struggling offense or struggling against
Utah? Let's go a couple minutes on Utah. I don't want to hang out there all day because I think as fans we're freaking tired of it, but I know I am. I am so sick and tired of the feeling of walking away from the stadium after a Utah loss, or the feeling the next day of freaking heck, I got to wait another year to try to get this taste out of my mouth. Like, I'm just sick and tired of losing to the Utes.
Yep, I'm absolutely on the same page with you. Literally, only one person could potentially be happy about this. That's Andrew George, who gets to continue to be the last BYU player to have touched a football in a victory. We know him a little bit. I know for a fact, actually, that he is very interested in ending that distinction. Here's my takeaway, Tosh. And I think it's important for us to understand, and I want to take a little page out of this. I think it's important. 2009, we beat the U, and there was an on-field incident. A BYU fan got out of hand with Kyle Whittingham's wife and son. He was taking pictures of them, like, mourning the loss or, like, consoling or whatever. This fan did something that made them upset. The report is what, Whittingham's family got in and took the...
One of the sons, like, grabbed the phone, and then there was, like, a scuffle that the fan, BYU fan, was involved in scuffling with Kyle Whittingham's wife and son, and it was kind of a really ugly ordeal.
And, like, the wife, it's reported, maybe took an elbow.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, certainly bad form by that BYU fan. You definitely don't mess with somebody's family like that. Kyle Whittingham goes into the Lavelle Edwards locker room stadium after that, and he says to his team, "We are never losing to BYU again." He's so upset about what just happened with his wife, and he makes that statement to his guys, "I'm sorry we lost tonight. We will never lose to these guys ever again." As like a statement of like, this is what Utah football is. We never lose to BYU, and has since executed upon that. One other story I want to share with you, Tosh. TCU comes into the Mountain West Conference. They win that first year in a wild game, 51-50 overtime. Crazy game. But after that, BYU goes and wins at TCU when they were ranked, ruins their ranked season, takes them out of Mountain West Conference contention. They don't win that conference title. Next year, again, they lose to BYU, and BYU goes on to win the conference championship. Everything for Gary Patterson at that point became about beating BYU, because if they were going to reach their goals, the whole thing for TCU was beating BYU. And the locker room, through the whole offseason, they had to look at BYU players and the logos and Cosmo the Cougar. They're lifting weights. They're laying down on the bench press and on the ceiling above them, BYU logos.
On all their practice dummies, there was BYU logos.
So everything for TCU became about beating BYU, because if you don't beat BYU, you don't get your further goal, which he had for the program. Tosh, BYU and its fans have for years and years now, continue to say, we're just so close in these games with Utah. And really, that I mean, frankly, we are usually close, except for the 54-10 game.
We've had a chance in pretty much every other game.
A chance in every other game. And the other part that's really frustrating is that in six of these seven games that we've lost in a row to Utah, Utah has not played well. They've played poorly and still beat us.
Yeah.
Utah's poor game, them playing poorly, has still been better than BYU and what they've been able to put on the field.
Well, because BYU has played poorly in every single one. We have not had a single game where we didn't mentally have some just absolute collapses.
And Kyle Van Noy tweeted out after the game that it's been seven straight years of not having an offense. And frankly, he's right about that. Like, I don't even know how you can, like... Anyway, but the point is, Tosh, I do not want to hear about a magical season anymore. I don't want to hear about finishing in the top 25. I don't want to hear about bowl game wins and how important those are. I don't want to hear about going to the New Year's Six. I don't want to hear about having a Heisman Trophy candidate at our school. The only thing that defines BYU football right now as a program overall is that we cannot beat Utah. I feel like that is the number one thing that looms over this program.
Well, here's why I agree with you. It's because the one factor that most directly affects BYU recruiting and who we lose, when we lose good athletes, LDS athletes to a school, it's Utah.
Or Stanford.
Yeah, but Utah, Stanford's in that conversation, but I mean, for every 10 we lose to Utah, yeah, there's one we lose to Stanford.
Right.
And so there is an inverse relationship with us and Utah. We need them to actually do bad in order for us to really have everyone want to go to BYU. Obviously, we have some guys we're going to get no matter what. They have some guys they're going to get no matter what. But those in-between guys, we need to freaking take back the state if we are going to cover that ground and get the recruits that we need in order to have those special seasons. So I agree with you 100%. Step one is control your own backyard and win a freaking game against the Utes occasionally.
That's it. And the whole thing is we talk about national relevance, exposure, and all this stuff. None of that, none of it will ever be achieved until you can beat Utah. And so the whole thing for BYU football going forward, it must be beating Utah. And until we have a program-defining statement like, everything is about beating Utah, the way that TCU handled it with BYU, the way that Utah now approaches playing BYU. Until we have a similar sort of standard, we are going to continue to lose to Utah. I believe that.
Because Utah fans will act like this game doesn't matter, but Kyle Whittingham's flashing the 7 sign to the fans as he's walking off the field. He cares about this game tremendously.
Absolutely.
And
so
here's what I will say. I do think that Kalani is the guy that can care about this game tremendously. Like I care about on-field performance, number one, by a long way. But I do have to say that I respect greatly his post-game comments and that I think that he can be able to right this ship and have the emphasis that we do need in order to beat Utah.
So I get that this isn't going to come up until the end of this season, but the entire offseason, we need beat Utah signs all over the BYU locker room. Like, it's just everything has to be about beating Utah now. You can't accomplish your goals as a program until that monkey is off the back of this program. It is literally the entire deal when it comes to BYU football now.
I wholeheartedly agree.
And until that changes, BYU football will always be in a funk. It'll be mediocre. It'll be 8-9 win team.
We have some pretty good team. We have some pretty good wins we can hang our hat on. Here's the sad reality as I've thought about it, though. I think that down the road, we could be looking at this period as the dark days of BYU football.
I think it absolutely will be looked at that way.
And it's because of primarily these losses. People, we will say to our kids, like, yeah, I was alive. I was a fan. I went to those games when we lost 7 in a row, or it might end up being like 9 in a row. you know, that will be the time, but we need to get out of this.
I asked for special tickets. We were going to spend big because it was played on my birthday, which is coming up, September 18th, okay? It was played. I went. I put everything into watching the BYU football game. It's what I asked my present, my whole birthday party around, because they were playing the U, and they lost 54-10. So anyway, it has been painful, and I don't think that things change for this program until that result of that game changes.
Okay, let's talk a couple – before we go into Wisconsin, I feel like – state of the program, specifically state of the offense. Because our defense is awesome. We might have another season where we have one of the best defenses in the country, but that our results don't show that. And the reason why is because our offense
blows
chunks.
Well, with the defense, too, they're still undefeated on third and goal. They still have yet to give up a touchdown on third and goal. So on those four-point play scenarios, they're perfect. There are five opportunities where they've had to defend that, and they've won all five of those opportunities.
Yeah.
And then one team went for it on fourth, and we stopped that too. So, like, when the chips are down, they really do well. The offense is bad. You asked me the question. I got it right, but we'll do it for our fans. We'll give them a second here. Only one tight end or wide receiver has caught a touchdown. Oh, well, I blew the question. But only one tight end or wide receiver has caught a touchdown this season.
We're three games in, and we have one reception for a touchdown by the tight ends or receivers combined. That's mind-blowing. Here's my thing. I feel like every single offensive position is underperforming this year.
Absolutely.
With the exception of tight end. But that's a one-man position. Every other position is underperforming.
You know, I tweeted this out, Tosh, that they need to absolutely rip up the entire depth chart. I think that nobody should feel like, if I was walking into practice this week, and this is probably why I'm not a coach, but I would have looked at everyone and said, nobody's got a job this week in practice. We will figure out who's going to play against Wisconsin. Then beyond that, our play style, what we're going to do, things are so 33 points in three games, Tosh. 33 points. Things are so desperate.
We haven't had that bad since 1974. We had 27 points after three games.
Things are so desperate that you have to do whatever it takes to move the football and score points. Whatever it takes. Option. Wishbone, I don't care what it is. Let's move the football.
Go for it on every fourth down.
Go for it on every fourth down.
Let's try something crazy. Like, it's that time.
Wildcat? Are we going to just play Wildcat and do that? Well, that would be crazy. But you know,
Micah Simon back there?
Are we going to have, within every three plays, a trick play? Are we going to, like, whatever it takes to move the football, it has to be done. Now, Tosh, the problem with that is, does Ty Detmer know anything except for the pro set?
Nothing that we can point to that would ever have taught him anything. Besides,
like, he understands principles of other things. He understands.
He's a master of what he's used to.
It's what he played in college. It's what he did and mentored throughout his NFL career. And it's also what he did when he was down as a coach in Texas.
Yep.
So he has always done pro set. He was brought to BYU to coach pro set, was convinced by Kalani to come and leave his beautiful ranch in Texas and come here and coach BYU. And I think there's a strong chance that he only knows how to do the pro set.
I think he could do some plays that aren't pro set, but that's what he's comfortable. That's what he's a master of.
We all know that Tosh is, he's got a poster on his wall. One of his favorite actor, the guy he says the best actor in the world is Kirby Hayborn. He loved the work that Kirby put in on the best.
I love his commercials. I just watch those over and over.
Oh, sure. And the best 2 years. I mean, the Midwestern farm boy, I mean, it was unbelievable. And honestly, the dance when he gets his call to Boise, Idaho, it's the greatest. Tosh Lake, it's amazing for him.
I've kind of shaped my life.
he loves Kirby Hayborn. But if we were going to make a film with Kirby Hayborn, and let's assume he does not speak French, but he was in as great as an actor Kirby Hayborn is, if we put him in a French film, he would struggle a little bit, right?
I mean, that's not what he's comfortable with. He would try his best. The guy's an incredible actor and an incredible talent.
So if we look at Ty and say, well, why don't you run the air raid? It's sort of like being like, well, why don't you write left-handed? Like if, you know, or with what if you're left-handed, why don't you write right-handed? Yeah. Like, it's just like, it's just not what, maybe he could go do it, but it would be sloppy. It wouldn't be sharp. Kirby Hayborn wouldn't provide those laughs that you normally get.
That's a great analogy and really surprised me with your knowing about my Kirby Hayborn one. What I will say is that I feel bad for Ty in that he was given players that don't suit what his strengths are.
Yeah.
And that starts with the quarterback. I think that Taysom Hill and Tanner Mangum are great offensive production people. They've proven that. That those guys can move the football. But neither of them were comfortable at all with the type of offense that Ty was brought in here to run.
Well, it makes you...
So it's going to take a while, and I just don't... It just sucks, because it could take a long time till I feel like Ty gets the players that are able to run his offense.
It makes you sort of sympathize with Robert and I. How good he did with these different kinds of players and able to suit these kinds of players, and how he was able to take Christian Stewart and make that work.
Yeah.
Robert and I was really good, and I think that he was right to be offended that he didn't get an interview for being the head coach. Like, it's like, this has made me really appreciate how good Robert and I is.
He's just grumpy.
Yeah, he's a grumpy guy, but so what?
Yeah, no, but I think that was the flaw. Like, it sucks, but yeah.
So, but the thing is like, I feel bad for Ty because he was brought in to do one thing, and that was run a pro-style offense. I also feel bad for all these players because none of them are suited to run a pro-style offense.
They've never done it in their life, and now they're being asked to do different reads, different... It's just...
Where your hand placement goes as an offensive lineman is different. The way that you... The splits and the amount of difference for offensive linemen, that all changes. The way that you've got to get off the line of scrimmage
blocking,
when you're... Yeah.
Like, in a zone system, you zone block. It's just whoever's in your area, you block them now... It's a lot more assignment sound.
Well, and the sophistication that's required of wide receivers because they've got to be able to read defenses now instead of just say, like, I got to feel there's an open space over there, run to it. Like, there's a lot more that's sophisticated to it, and it just takes more time, and there's a lot of adjustments and habits that have to be formed. So I have sympathy towards both. However, we've got to score some points.
Yep. And on that note, let's go to Wisconsin.
The AP Top 10 Wisconsin Badgers from the Big Ten are on their way to Provo, Tosh. They're paying back from the game where, you remember, we got really mad because we were punting from the 35?
Yes.
By the way, those antics have not changed.
No.
I saw last week Virginia punted from their own, from the 38. They punted to Indiana, and it was a touchback, Tosh. That was a touchback.
So an 18-yard difference.
Yeah, good one. Good one for old Bronco, who's struggling out there, too. So the Wisconsin Badgers, listen, even if they weren't ranked 10th in the country, this would be a game that you and I would be scared of because of the style of football that Wisconsin brings.
Yeah. I mean, they are, not to just bring up past tragedies, but they are very similar to LSU in that they are a running team with elite running backs, with elite offensive line, and that they play lights-out defense. Here's the other thing that should scare you. The national press and the national coaches both have Wisconsin rated as a better team right now than LSU. They're ranked higher in both polls. This is a really good football team that's rolling into Provo on Saturday.
And, you know, the thing with Wisconsin and just with their play style, the thing that you can expect, right, is physicality, number one. You were so confident about our players in the trenches being, you know, a lot better than we've had in recent years. And that isn't, even defensively, that hasn't come.
We've been out-trenched the last two games by a wide margin.
And it wasn't a big, you know, dominance over Portland State either.
True. Portland State was able to run the ball a little bit against
them.
They
sure were. And they, you know, on
they're giving their guy pass
well,
protection.
And then the other bit is how many third downs, third and longs did Portland State convert? You know, I that is about winning at the line of scrimmage because you can just pin your ears back and rush.
Yeah.
And the only guy that we have that rushes the quarterback is Taki Taki.
Yep. Yep.
And then everybody else, it looks like there's nothing there.
We've been great in run defense from a D-line. We have been terrible at a pass rush. Terrible.
Well, I think you absolutely are going to have to be great on run defense against Wisconsin. That's where we're going to start, because really that's where it's all about. Jonathan Taylor, the electric freshman.
You're not going to go with the JTT comment?
No, I did in our prep. I know. Yeah, we're in prep.
Jonathan,
we talked about Jonathan Taylor.
Anyone hears that name, they're all thinking the same thing.
Where's the Thomas? That's what they're thinking. Where's the Thomas? But Jonathan Taylor, 35 rushes and with 310 yards, that's 8.9 yards per carry on the season, Tosh. 4 touchdowns.
9 yards per freaking carry is insane. He is... We thought Geis was the best player, and I still think he probably will be, but this guy is giving him a run for his money, the best player we will see this year.
He was unexpected, for sure. We did not expect that he would be the guy that we'd have to take a look at. But this freshman has been outstanding over there. You know, 4 rushing touchdowns for Jonathan Taylor. BYU as a team through three games has 4 touchdowns. Tosh, 310 yards rushing for Jonathan Taylor in 2 games. The Cougars... That's on 35 rushes. The Cougars, by contrast, have rushed the football 73 times for 229 yards at 3.14 yards per carry.
Big difference.
Yeah, that's a big difference for sure. The Cougars are averaging only 76 yards per game rushing. This guy's getting over 100 yards per game rushing. Now, Tosh, you like to bring up who they've played this year.
That is, I can only think of 2 reasons of hope this week. One is that Wisconsin has played nobody good.
Florida Atlantic and Utah State.
To our Utah State fan listeners, which I don't think are many out there, that they've only played Utah State and Florida Atlantic. We will be the best team they have played this year, and that is something that I like. So we do have to take some of their stats with that in mind, that they have played weak teams. But that being said...
Okay, Tosh.
They're still really good.
I'm going to ask you a question that's not a fun question to ask, but is there a chance that BYU is not good this year?
Yes.
Like, not as good, like, at the same level as a Florida Atlantic?
We haven't proven this year. I think we're better than both those teams. So I'm comfortable saying we are the best team they're going to have played so far. But we have not proven that. We've looked bad in every single game.
The bad news about the rushing is if Jonathan Taylor comes out of the game because he's got to rest, you're going to throw in the junior, Chris James. He's going to get in there. He's got 21 rushes for 116 yards, 5.5 yards per carry. So obviously that offensive line blocks well. They open up holes, and they've got 2 running backs that are averaging over 5 yards per carry. One of them is almost at 9. So, Tosh.
And that's not their whole offense. Their running attack is scary. But their tight end is up.
He's a monster. Yeah, he's going to be their first or second round.
Troy Fumagalli.
6'6", 248 pounds. He is going to be an NFL tight end. 13 catches this year. He leads the team. 197 yards leads the team. He's got 2 receiving touchdowns through 2 games. He is everything to them. And, you know, this is the first time that Alex Hornibrook, the quarterback, has been a starter. He's a sophomore for the Badgers, and he's done just fine.
He's been very they play very Wisconsin-like.
Yeah.
Conservative passing game. He's very effective. Completion percentage over 60%. He doesn't throw many picks. The guy's smart with the ball. They're going to run the ball, conservative passing, try to get it down the field. It all comes down to, can we stop the run?
Stop the run so that they, you know, play action is the only thing that can really hurt you with downfield throwing against BYU. But right now, you know, it is. It's all about the run. And if they are going to pass, chances are they're going to throw it to the big tight end, Fumagalli. Defensively, you know, it's Wisconsin. Wisconsin in the trenches are going to be tough. They're going to give you a hard time, and they have a solid linebacker in Chris Orr. He's got leads the team, 15 tackles through 2 games, and that's what he is. He's your typical Wisconsin linebacker. He just plays tough. He's in the right spot. He's making reads, and he is very sound. He wraps up. Yeah, tough guy. I mean, it's what you think when you think Wisconsin linebacker. When it comes to their DBs, a little bit slow. opportunity to take advantage of those things. Unfortunately, BYU does not look like they can take advantage of like anybody's DBs, and I also worry about BYU's ability to run the football, just period.
We should be scared.
So, Tosh, they've got the advantage offensively because they can run, and when you can run like that, it opens up some things passing-wise. Also, defensively, then, they're going to have the advantage just by merit of the fact that every defense that plays BYU's offense right now should have an advantage over BYU's offense.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is. Compounding the troubles of the BYU offense is Tanner Mangum's injury. So we can say with confidence, right? We feel 100%
confidence. People are reporting this might be the case. I will go on record, and we'll go on record right now. I know Tanner Mangum's not playing this Saturday.
All right, so Bo Hodge is going to be under center instead of Tanner Mangum. And a big opportunity for Bo Hodge. You know, Tanner's looked a little shaky, and if if he wants to take over, I mean, they came in the same year. So Bo Hodge was going to be a career backup. That was his trajectory. This is his opportunity to make the position his. Is there a chance that we might see a flash of that from Bo Hodge this Saturday?
Yes.
It's the wrong opponent, Tosh. It's the wrong opponent.
It's a tough opponent for your first game and this being a chance. His first start at BYU against the number ranked 10 team in the country.
And even then, he still, when he played as a freshman, I mean, he came in against Wagner.
He came in East Carolina.
He
played bad against
East
Carolina. He played good against a really bad Wagner team. But he was not expecting to play in that East Carolina. This week, he's got a week going into this.
He's preparing, yeah.
I like that he adds the running element. Not that I'm a huge proponent of running quarterbacks, but this offense needs something.
Yeah.
And so right now, his running might be something that gives us a spark. I also like the emergence of Tulatau, that guy, as I predicted before last game, was our best running back.
He's still beat up, though, Tosh.
Yeah, the coaches are bringing him along slowly. That's what a lot of fans are yelling at the TV screens and yelling at the coaches. Why are we not playing this guy more? His dad came out on Facebook and did a post about how he's grateful the coaches are bringing his son along slow because he's not 100% yet. He's not ready to be given a ton of touches.
And I think that's smart because he is going to be the best running back that the Cougars have. Yeah. At least he came in and had some like fire.
It's like he read the blocks. He didn't just. That's one problem. We can go off on so many tangents. But I feel like our running backs this year are just running right into the linemen.
Well, and with all the attention that Tanner's got because he hasn't played particularly well and the offense has gotten because of that, still the best option has been to have Tanner Mangum passing because the run game has been so bad.
Yes.
And I just feel like in football, that's the number one thing. If you can't establish that you can at least hand off and gain more than 2 yards.
Yep.
Because right now BYU is having a hard time even proving that they can go out and gain 2 yards. Yep. You know,
if you
can't run, nothing else is going to come along.
Here's our only, I feel like, confident offensive edge going into this game is Bushman. As we predicted, Bushman has continued to be a mismatch every single game.
Yeah.
Linebackers can't guard him, and he's too big for corners. And so those are the only we're really drawn at things of how we could have a chance in this game.
I think
those are the couple things that I have.
See, and I don't know. I think as good as Bushman has been, I actually think it's whoever is really good at the scramble drill.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, whatever receiver can do, I just feel like we're going to get a lot of Bo Hodge. He can run. He's willing to do it. He's going to scramble. And while he's running out of the pocket, if he keeps his eyes downfield, and I don't know if he'll do that or not, my chances are he will not, and he'll just run. But if he does keep his eyes downfield, whoever does the best job on scramble drill, last week it was Trey Dye.
Yep.
Trey Dye did good on the scramble drill. So maybe that's an opportunity for the Cougars. What are some of the other things that you think Ty Detmer should try to do to get Bo Hodge comfortable and give the Cougars a chance to move the chains? Because the defense can't be out there for over 40 minutes the way they were against LSU.
So here's my
They have
my
to
ideas.
Move the change. Have to.
I would love for us to run a couple option plays, old school pitch option plays, just to throw a team off. Like, Hodge is the type of athlete to be able to do it, and right now we need to do stuff to throw a defense off.
And I talked about that last week on our pod, but like, yeah I mean, against Utah, too, there was a lot more pre-snap movement that was brought in. And really, that all that is helpful. But even still, there isn't a whole lot that shows you that the other team is really confused about what's coming.
And we do need to run some just, I feel like, read option. Although everyone does that in college football, it's not that common in the Big Ten.
But it worked.
Yes.
It works. There's a reason everybody runs it.
We need to run, I feel like, some read option with Bo as well.
And we absolutely will. I think you're going to see that 100%. We know it's his athleticism. That's the thing that makes Hodge. By the way, everyone just says Bo Hodge, like it's like his whole name, like is always stated. So it was weird for me just to say Hodge. But one of the things for Hodge is that he has thrived as a quarterback, even when he was in Kentucky, by being athletic.
Yep.
And using his athleticism. And so we'll see.
He's got a strong arm, too. You watch his high school highlight film, it's mostly about the deep ball. And so hopefully he can bring that element back, because we need that.
And honestly, to me, that is it. You're a big, heavy underdog against Wisconsin. If you're going to win, sure, third down conversions are fine. Making some plays on first down will be important. But really, Tosh, you've got to make chunk plays.
Yeah.
You've got to get 25-yard gains. You've got to have big, unexpected downfield throws that are completed. That is the only way to come up and surprise and maybe get Wisconsin in this game.
What's your prediction?
I think it's going to be a bloodbath. I hate saying that. I just think that right now, first of all, the offense was already having problems. I thought that outside of Bushman, that the second most bright prospect of the entire offense was Tanner Mangum, despite all the criticism that he was taking, and he wasn't good.
Yeah.
So that really says a lot. I just think when the offense is that bad, I don't think that you can throw in Bo Hodge against the 10th ranked in the country a defense for that team. I just think that they're going to be tough. I think that they're going to be sound, and we can't do very much. It's going to be exotic. So I think that they're going to know what's coming. It's just going to be bad, Tosh.
Let's hear a score.
Are they even going to get to 10 points?
That's my over-under that I'm not sure on. If the over and under, if I was setting that, I would say 10. That's the fair question.
I mean, that's what Utah State got to. Florida Atlantic got to 17. I'll go in between. I guess I was going to say 13, but then I realized that meant two field goals by Mr. Automatic. You know?
He's struggling.
You know?
Like our kicking game.
Rhett Almond-matic.
You're saying that in a joke on Blaine Fowler, who jinxed our kicker when he said that the guy doesn't miss inside of 40.
He's a guarantee. It's going through the pipes if it's 40 yards or in.
And then he's just missing right and left.
He was pretty good last year.
Yeah. He hit a game winner.
Yeah. And if he makes a field goal against Utah, it changes things big time. But anyway, I think, they're going to figure out two touchdowns. They're going to have to run a little bit. I think Bo Hodge is going to run. And I think it'll be like last year. I think it'll be a poor man's version of what we had with Taysom's offense last year. But I guess that might be good enough to get two touchdowns here. So I will say 14, and I actually think that the Cougars' defense will be tough. They'll make it rough on them. So 24-14. That'll be my score. But it won't. Even though it's that, it'll just feel like a bloodbath. That doesn't sound like a bloodbath. I get that, but it'll feel that way.
You have this game closer than I do.
Yeah.
So I think that our defense.
I don't feel comfortable about the 14. By the way.
I feel like our defense is going to have some highlights. They have every game. Our defense is dang good. That's what I feel bad about that's getting lost.
The only criticism is turnovers.
Yes.
They forced turnovers last year. And
we had a couple against Utah, though, but that's...
Yeah, fumbles. Yeah. But like,
haven't got a pick yet.
They have to... No interceptions yet. They have to force turnovers.
Yep.
It's critical.
So I think that...
By the way, that's one of the reasons we scored against Utah, short field.
Totally.
Like, we have to get short fields.
Our defense will make a play or two that give us some points, whether they score those points or whether they just give us, like, an automatic short field. And so I think we score 13. I think that Wisconsin scores 30. That our defense is going to be in tough positions over and over and over. I have us losing by 17. Yeah. which is exactly the current Vegas line. So I'm not taking any sort of big risks there. But that's just my feelings going into this. I hope it would be freaking awesome. And we have had the time where we beat Texas that kind of got the taste out of our mouth of the bad Utah game a little bit. It's always still there because Utah's our most important game. But I'm hoping that happens again, but I would not bet anything on it. I think we lose 30-13.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. I actually feel a little funny about my prediction, but we'll leave it that way. So, Tosh, man, are you going to be at the stadium? How good's the crowd going to be? Afternoon game?
The crowd will be good because it's
picked up on ABC.
It could have been a lot better. That was an electric atmosphere on Saturday, and I just hate that.
Which is crazy, because it was, like, objectively, it was a horrible game.
Yeah.
Like, it just was poorly
but
played.
But The Rock brought more energy than I've ever, like, it was great.
I believe all that. What I'm saying, like, it's just like, I mean, they brought all that energy, even with it being kind of a crappy game to watch. Just as, on that, you know, just like from an aesthetic point of view.
Well, let's go Cougs. We beat Wisconsin. It helps for sure.
It would be a big, big win. But, Tosh, don't get your hopes up too big, okay?
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games and go Cougars!